Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
He's live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show. Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
Here we go. Hour number three of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. Coming up at the top of the hour, Gus Frerotte joins us for NFL Picks. We've talked about the disappointment of Clayton Kershaw, the disappointment of James Harden as well in the final hour, drawing some comparisons to the two, both great regular season players, but in the postseason, they just don't have it. Well, Houston, even though you may not have liked that with just the reality about James Harden, you'll like this. Now, I would expect if you're an Astros fan, you're watching the game, but you never know where you can be taken to on a Friday. Maybe you're just getting out of work, or maybe you're not able to watch the game tonight because your wife is taking you somewhere, or your husband's taking you somewhere, and you're just getting into the car and listening to the radio now. Well, the Astros, who are down 1-0, now they have scored 3 runs in the 5th inning, and the 5th inning is still ongoing. Runners on the corners with 1 out, and this series has been nuts. Because when it was 3-0, and when Tampa took a 3-0 series lead, you probably thought, turn out the lights, the party's over. And just very similarly to how you thought that about the Yankees and the Red Sox going back to 2004 when the New York Yankees, where the year prior, Aaron Boone hit a walk-off home run and a comeback in Game 7 in extra innings against Tim Wakefield. They made that comeback. They win that series. And then in the next year, in the ALCS again, the Yankees won Game 1, Game 2, the high-scoring Game 3 victory. And then you had all the Big Poppy moments, the Dave Roberts moments, and then the Johnny Damon moments. And the Red Sox come back, and they win that series in Game 7. Well, the Rays, you may be like the New York Yankees, as the Astros just scored another run. So that's going to be now 4-0. So if the Astros force a Game 7, that means they'll have won 3 games in a row, and they'll have an opportunity to win a 4th game in a row. And I'm actually very excited about that. 4-1, excuse me, is the score right now. I'm very excited about that if the Astros end up getting to a Game 7 and they win Game 7. You know, just having the Game 7 is nice, especially with how quickly this was going to look. And this is nothing against the Rays. The Rays are a heck of a team. In the year of 2020, they've been the better team than the Astros. But do the Rays give you any juice in a World Series? They don't. Naturally, they don't give you any juice. They could give you a good series, entertaining series. You don't say, yeah, I got to tune in to watch the Rays. You don't. And we talked about this a little bit earlier. And I get that it's a bizarre and a wacky year. I also believe that a reason why these games aren't as, I don't want to say entertaining, but they don't have a ton of big-time interest is I think there is something to it when you let the game naturally breathe. And yeah, there's no fans or there's no raucous atmosphere, I should say. And you're not in the home ballparks, which is so important for playoff baseball. But usually you get like games 1 and 2 back-to-back, and then you go travel somewhere else for games 3, 4, and 5, and you get some time in between. You know, going from one big moment to not even being able to enjoy it for 24 hours, or if you're a fan of the team that was on the other side, at least soak in your sorrows, I think that plays a factor in it. where you don't even get time to really break it down and process what happens. It's, all right, game's over, you're on to the next game. Is there's no off days, zero. You know, you get game one to game two to game three to game four to game five, and now we're in game six. So I think that does play a factor into it. Where before the playoffs started, I said, yeah, like I'm not really that hyped for the baseball playoffs. Usually I'm all in. You had some moments, as we talked about, with the Fernando Tatis Jr. Getting robbed of a home run and Machado going at it with the Dodgers. Rays and Yankees was fun. You also had Ronald Acuna Jr. with some of the bat flip nonsense, which he did nothing wrong, and then he gets drilled by a pitch by Alcantara from the Marlins. So there's been some stuff, but overall, it kind of seems as, all right, you just had an NBA championship with LeBron James, which even that was not big-time buzz as it usually would have been. You know, NHL, congratulations to the Lightning. I personally enjoy the NHL, but I know a lot of people don't care for the NHL. And then you get, like, Major League Baseball, where the playoffs are going, but it kind of feels as no matter what happens, they're going, and there's not really a reaction. There's not really a take. And then everyone lives and dies by the National Football League, so we know National Football League is king. So a big reason why I would like to see the Astros get to the World Series is I think they're so polarizing with the cheating stuff that you'll get more people, I believe, interested if it's the championship round, if it's the World Series, and you know it's a best of seven. Then you will have, you know, I don't want to say 50% because, you know, let's just go Astros fans, 25% rooting. Astros, 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 my team, let's go win it all. And then the other 75% will be, nah, we can't have cheaters win. And you look at the potential matchup, Rays and Braves, what's the incentive to tune in? Astros and Braves? Yeah, I'm all in. Because of the Astros factor. And I know that the Rays are up 3-0 in this series, and maybe we end up seeing a game seven with this now being 4-1 in the fifth inning and they're going to the bottom of the fifth. You know, I hate to just say, and I heard Jeff Passan on ESPN today, who he is tremendous covering baseball. You know, that dude knows so much about the game. He goes, it would be foolish to count out the Dodgers. At 3-1, you know, I would have never thought here at 3-0 with the Rays that we would be a few innings away from a game seven. And you probably usually don't think that in the moment, but when you're at 3-1 here, and I respect the Braves a lot. Connor, you agree with this? You don't think that the Dodgers are actually to come back? Like, I just don't see it.
I think that series is over, but I also thought this Rays-Astros series was over, so you never know. And I really love the Dodgers coming into the postseason.
I thought they were going to go to the World Series.
Right, so, I mean, anything's possible, but you would imagine at 3-1, the series is probably over.
Mm-hmm. You would think. Like, 99... what do you go, 0.7%?
Right.
And it's so difficult now because we talk about the off day point. You're like, you have no clue who's going to be starting. Because you could use a guy usually on short rest, and now you don't even get like an off day to build in another day to get the guy up to 3 days rest in between games. So, you know, give me a game seven as a sports fan, which they're not the two best words in sports, game seven. I know that's the cliche. World champions are the two best words in sports. That's something that I've been saying for the last few months. Not that long ago, yes, I was like everybody else. Oh, best two words in sports, game seven. Oh, yeah, the best two words in sports, game seven. World champions, right? Would you agree with that, Connor Green, that yes, everyone loves a game seven, unless if you lose. But that expression, best two words in sports, game seven, is just not true.
Yeah, it's one of those overused sayings. It's sort of like when people say defense wins championships. Well, I mean, it does, but like a really good offense can also win championships too. But everyone always, defense wins championships sometimes, but sometimes an offense does.
Yeah, I think that statement is more true, especially in football, because sure, you could have, I don't know, like for example, that Eagles and Patriots Super Bowl, where it was 41-33. That game is remembered for the offense. In that game, Nick Foles winning a Super Bowl MVP, Tom Brady throwing for 505 yards. The biggest play of the game, and I know Eagles fans will be like, Philly special, Philly special, Philly special. That was not the biggest play of the game. That was right at the end of the first half. The biggest play of that game was the Brandon Graham strip sack on Tom Brady. So, yes, the offense was the storyline in that Super Bowl, but ultimately, hate to use a cliche, the defense did win a championship. But I do get your point, because if your offense scores 45 points, let's just say, your defense can allow 42 and do nothing in the game, and your offense won you the championship, but not the defense. So Astros and Rays 4-1 in the bottom of the fifth, and we'll see if the Dodgers could stave off elimination tonight. That is a 3-1 series lead in favor of the Braves. You think the Dodgers win tonight, or do you see this going to a game six?
I think the Dodgers win tonight, goes to game six, and then
And then that's the pressure cooker.
Think they close it out.
Because, like, that's the same thing in this series. I know it's a little bit different because it was 3-0 compared to 3-1, but at 3-0, yeah, when the Astros win game four, you're not like, all right, they're going to win the series. Then they win game five, you go, all right, intriguing. In this game six tonight, if the Rays don't win this game six tonight, momentum then is totally gone and totally shifted, and then you expect the Astros to win a game seven.
Yeah, when you get a lead in one of these series like this, you can't let the other team win a couple games and then get back into it, because then it gets to a point like in a game six situation, you have all the pressure on the team that had the 3-0 lead. So you get to that point, all your guys start pressing. It happened to the Yankees in 2004. Everybody starts pressing. And then in game seven, it's completely up for grabs, and all your guys are desperate to win because nobody wants to be remembered as the team that blew a 3-0 lead or a 3-1 lead.
In game six, do you think the blood was real in Curt Schilling's sock? Are you one of those Yankee fans that go, oh, yeah, it was fake blood?
I think it was real blood.
Yeah, so
I think he played up an injury that was bad, but
I think
he played up the blood.
Mangled, man.
I think he still played it up a little bit, and the media went crazy about it. But it was, some people think that he like painted it in the dugout. That's ridiculous.
That's ridiculous. You know, it's a shame now. You bring up Curt Schilling's name, and it's like a sin now. This guy says ridiculous, crazy things. I used to talk to Curt a lot on the radio, and I would tell him before, I don't agree with most of the things you say, but I respect what you did as a baseball pitcher. You know, that guy, big game, one of the best big game pitchers you'll ever see, and a guy that he should be in the Hall of Fame. The first time I talked to him was it was at a Super Bowl, actually. It was Patriots-Giants, the second one, 46, and I brought up the fake sock. And he kind of just laughed because, yeah, he's been asked about it before, but he lived through it. It was painful for him, and if that is true, that was like real blood and... You know, I know Yankee fans are going to say, oh, it wasn't real blood. Then, you know, you kind of think if you lived through it, it was true. Like, yeah, I have to listen to some drunk idiot or some dumb sports fan tell me that what I was going through was not real. That's what I always find comical. How we can't, and I understand questioning things. I believe questioning things. But things like that get very stupid. For example, Dwayne Haskins with the illness right now. You know, the guy is actually sick. Hopefully he makes a speedy recovery. But that's like one where it's fair, I think, to raise the eyebrow and go, guy just got benched. You know, if he was starting, would he be sick? You kind of compare it because they had the same agent to the whole Jalen Ramsey situation. When he was trying to force his way out, he's like, oh, yeah, my back's hurting. I was like, is your back really hurting? The Schilling one. That was always one where I'm like, really? We're trying to say that this guy wasn't actually bleeding? And there's great conviction on that from Yankee fans.
There's a lot of people that believe that, but there were cameras on him all game long. Someone would have seen him sneak off into the locker room and come back and the blood spot would have gotten bigger, or someone would have seen him in the dugout with whatever they think it was.
Red
he
Sharpie.
Was put ketchup or whatever. Someone would have seen him
like
do that.
WWE wrestler with the fake blood?
Yeah.
It's absurd. So to recap this real quickly, you know, I would say that tonight was the first time the Rays felt the pressure. Because you lose game four, whatever, you're up 3-1. You lose game five. After that, it's like, we better win tonight or else we're in a do-or-die game. And, yeah, it's only a 3-run lead right now. But four innings away, you don't get the job done. You're going to a game seven. And then everyone's going to think the Astros are going to win. In the Dodgers series, with it being 3-1 in favor of the Braves, if the Dodgers win tonight, I don't think the Braves are shaking in their boots. But then if you lose game six, going into that game six is when you say, okay, now it's time to step up and end this series and close it out. So That's what you got in Major League Baseball. Here's our poll question tonight. I just want to update the results for you on that one. It has to do with Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady since they are squaring off this weekend. And we know that Tom Brady is 43 and Aaron Rodgers is 36. Will either QB win another Super Bowl? Here are the early returns. 6% say just Brady. 6% say both will win another Super Bowl. 41% say never will win another. And then 47% say just Rodgers. Now, real quickly, because, you know, I look back at Curt Schilling since we just brought him up. You know, I thought he was a tremendous baseball analyst. You know, anytime I brought him on, I think I learned something about the game, and he always had a good, compelling opinion. If we were to bring him on now to talk baseball, do you think he would bring up politics? Or do you think we would have to bring him up for that conversation? Because if we could just get him on to talk baseball, it'd be fun. But then if we start getting into like a whole political conversation, I just don't have the energy for that.
I think if you bring him on and you say we want to talk baseball, postseason baseball, whatever it may be.
You think he'd even want to do it?
Would he want to do it? I think he probably
would. I think
he would. Because
yeah,
I think, to be honest, I don't think a ton of shows now would have him on. Mm-hmm. And, like, he got on Moose and Maggie on WFAN, I think it was either last year. Yeah, it was pretty recently.
Oh, yeah. So,
and I think he's just talked about sports. So I think if he said, hey, look, it's baseball, I don't think he would have a problem with that.
I wonder if he's still really plugged in. You know, you talk about a guy that was postseason greatness. It seems like now every time you hear about him, and maybe just because of the climate and the way that things get reported now and with how much the election's in the news, it seems like every time you hear about him now, it's no longer about baseball. The only time it's ever baseball matter is the Hall of Fame. Now it seems like it's just politics, politics, politics. So, you know, I don't even know. Oh, yeah, we were talking about the Yankees comeback or the choke by the Yankees and the Red Sox comeback, and then we somehow got on a tangent about Curt Schilling. Yeah, those are the things in a radio show that you don't expect to come up, and then whenever the microphone goes on, we start talking about different things. We get into a conversation about Curt Schilling. But I remember towards the end, like this when he really started to get political, and it was like noticeable. It must have been 2016, 2017. I would start to get a lot of pushback because I would talk to him a bunch just about baseball, and we'd have good baseball conversations. And there was one time politics did come up, and I would say, hey, like, I don't, you know, agree with you on this, but everyone's entitled to a different viewpoint, even though I think your viewpoint is crazy at times. And, like, we had a conversation about it. But I remember, like, the last time I had him on, it must have been 2016 or 2017, you know, we got a lot of notes. Yeah, don't put him on anymore. I don't want to hear from Curt Schilling. Which that was, like, the first time I actually realized it, how much the guy isn't well-liked right now. And trust me, as I've said, I don't agree with a lot of what he says. And he says a lot of crazy things. And unfortunately, I think that is keeping him out of the Hall of Fame. Because would you agree with that? He's not in the Hall of Fame right now. It's not because he was like a good regular season pitcher and a great postseason pitcher, as people will try to debate that. I think he's annoyed a lot of people with the whole lynching journalist comments, which was terrible. And I don't even remember how he tries to justify it, like, oh, like it was a meme or it was a joke. Like, I don't even remember fully. So to be fair to him, I don't remember what his explanation was in that. But I would say that's probably why he's not in the Hall of Fame. And I've said this before, regardless if you like the person or not, regardless if the person is an unbelievable human being or you think he's a terrible human being, Hall of Fames to me are judged based off the stats and all of that. And that's what I think should determine what someone has done on the mound or someone has done on a football field, whether or not they should get into the Hall of Fame or not. So I would probably, that's what I would say why he's not in the Hall of Fame right now. Do you agree?
I think he's like right on the edge of being a Hall of Famer statistically. Like his postseason numbers are great. Regular season numbers, like pretty good. So if people in the media liked him a little bit more, they probably would give him the benefit of the doubt. I wouldn't say it's the reason he's not in, but I think if a lot of the reporters and people that are voting on things had a better relationship with him, I think probably they would give him the benefit of the doubt and put him in.
Now let me make a comparison here. Would you say Curt Schilling and Eli Manning very similar, where their regular season numbers are very good? In the postseason, though, and you look at what Eli Manning has done, 2 Super Bowls, Curt Schilling, 3 World Series championships, also had that World Series MVP. I think that was split him and Randy Johnson in 2001. And then he won an NLCS MVP back in 1993 before they would go on to lose the World Series to Toronto. Would that be a fair comparison, Eli and Curt Schilling? Because I think the case is, like, Eli is not one of the greatest quarterbacks you've ever seen, but his postseason moments get him the tiebreaker into the Hall of Fame. I think the same is for Curt Schilling. He's not the greatest regular season pitch you've ever seen, was very good, but his postseason numbers are so great, you kind of have to put him in.
Yeah, I think it's a good comparison. And I think Curt Schilling was even a better playoff performer than Eli Manning because
Eli
had a defense basically carry them in a lot of ways to some of those wins.
Yes and no. The defense played a big part in it. I would say in the first one, not necessarily the second one. The first one, the defense was just unbelievable in that game. But Eli, in that second Super Bowl, played his tail off against the second Super Bowl run, played his tail off against the 49ers. And then also in the Super Bowl against the Patriots, second one, he made that perfect throw to Mario Manningham. Like, the Tyree play was a lucky play, but the Mario Manningham play was a great throw by one Eli Manning. I would say, though, that Curt Schilling was a better big-game performer than Eli, which is still, you look at Eli, he's won the two Super Bowls against the greatest dynasty of all time, in the NFL. So, yeah, it's a good little conversation. Did not expect that on a Friday we'd be talking a little Curt Schilling and Eli Manning, but here we are. Kyle Tucker just hit a home run in the top of the six. Astros 5, Rays 1. So we're inching closer and closer and closer to that game 7. We'll break here when we come on back on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Oh, yeah, it's a Friday. You know what we do each and every Friday? Onsides, offsides. You don't want to miss it. We got 5 burning questions for you next.
Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, C. Green, what do you got for us?
All right, Zach.
Real quickly, growing up as a kid, anyone ever call you CeeLo Green, like as like a joke?
I had like one or two people call me CeeLo Green as a joke, yeah. Mm-hmm. Or Connor Purple, got that a lot.
Connor Purple,
that's Orange, lame. Connor Brown, any kind of non-green
was
last
name.
Was
that really a diss? Like, oh yeah, stupid kid on the playground, Connor Purple, because your name's Connor Green. Ha ha ha, what are you, Barney? Green and Purple?
Yeah, sometimes people, I don't know if they're trying to make fun of me. They're just trying to be like, oh, clever.
Yo,
like,
Purple.
Like, I've never heard of that before, you know?
Yo, Pink. What up, Pink?
Yo.
That's stupid. People really got on you for your last name?
Not, like, they wouldn't make fun of me. It was just, like, I think they were trying to, like, be clever and have a little play on my last name. As if I hadn't heard that from the time I was, like, 5 years old.
Yeah, Connor Magenta. All right, let's go, Connor Magenta. What do you got for us?
All right, number one, Le'Veon Bell is headed to the Chiefs on a one-year deal. With the Jets, Bell averaged just 4.1 yards per carry, second worst in the NFL, behind only Frank Gore's 3.7 yards per carry, who's also on the Jets. This was a far cry from Bell's Pittsburgh days, where he averaged 129 scrimmage yards per game, highest among any player in NFL history. Onside or offside, back with a good offense and arguably one of the most explosive offenses of all time, Bell will immediately return to being the player he was in Pittsburgh.
Don't take this the wrong way. I think he's going to be really, really good in Kansas City. But the player that he was, he doesn't need to be that in Kansas City. Because when they're all healthy, you have Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you have Patrick Mahomes, you have Sammy Watkins, you have Tyreek Hill, you also have Travis Kelce, you have Mecole Hardman. There's so many weapons. When he was in Pittsburgh playing at his best, yeah, you had Ben, yeah, you had AB, yeah, you had Le'Veon Bell. There's just so many weapons here. So they don't need him to be the guy. They don't need him to be a dominant force. They just need him to be another guy, another weapon. And maybe he's more than just another guy. Maybe he's more than just another weapon. But when you ask me, back with a good offense and arguably one of the most explosive offenses of all time, Bell will immediately return to being the player he was in Pittsburgh. I'm going to say offsides. He'll be really good, but consistently, each and every week he had to show up in Pittsburgh. He's not going to have to do that in Kansas City. So that's why I go offsides here.
Offside.
All right, Connor Turquoise, what do you got for us?
All right, number two, Andy Dalton will lead the Cowboys at quarterback for the rest.
I should have done Connor Orange there.
Or Connor Purple if you really wanted to be creative. So Andy Dalton will lead the Cowboys at quarterback for the rest of the season. Jerry Jones has high expectations for the former Bengal, saying, quote, "If we don't reach where we want to go, which is to win a championship, it will not be because of our play at quarterback. He is capable of coming in and playing at that level," end quote. Onside or offside, people forget Dalton is a three-time Pro Bowler and has made the playoffs five times in his career. So Andy Dalton will excel with the Cowboys and by the end of the season will be a top candidate for Comeback Player of the Year.
So the quote was, "If we don't reach where we want to go, which is to win a championship, it will not be because of our quarterback play. He's capable of coming in and playing at that level." Has Andy Dalton ever played championship-level football in his career? Like, he's been a good player in this league. I'm not crapping on him. But I've never looked at Andy Dalton and said, yeah, that's a guy that I'm going to win a Super Bowl with, correct?
I agree, but, like, I never felt Joe Flacco played Super Bowl-level football, and he also won a Super Bowl. But he had a good defense. I think with this Cowboys team, he could play well enough offensively that if the defense improves, it's possible.
There were moments, though, where Joe Flacco played great. Like, there were moments where I saw him play great in the postseason where you go in, and just me being a Patriot fan, you're like, wow, Joe Flacco plays really, really good statistically against the Patriots. It's a concern. There's never really a playoff game where Andy Dalton goes in, you go, oh yeah, I'm shaking in my boots because of Andy Dalton. So, you know, he's never won a playoff game because those Marvin Lewis teams never won a playoff game, period. When you ask me, though, people forget Dalton's a three-time Pro Bowler and has made the playoffs five times in his career. Andy Dalton will excel with the Cowboys by the end of the season, will be a top candidate for Comeback Player of the Year. I think he'll play well. I do. I think they're going to beat the Cardinals. I think he'll be efficient. Do I ever think you're really going to be like, oh, yeah, the Cowboys are a contender again? No. I don't think anyone coming out of the NFC East this year is going to be a contender. One team has to get to the playoffs this year. That's it. That's all you expect them to do, get to the playoffs. You know, maybe they win that first-round game. I remember when the Seahawks played the Saints, and that was the Beast Mode game, and the Seahawks ended up winning that game. So, you know, that was a Seahawks team. I think they were 7-9. And they pulled out that victory. So, yeah, like, if the Dalton-led Cowboys, I almost called them the Daltons, but if the Dalton-led Cowboys get into playoffs again, they could win one game, but I don't expect them to do anything more than that. Now, there's a difference with me thinking he'll play well, and then we'll be a top candidate for Comeback Player of the Year. Like, Aldon Smith's a candidate right now. He's been a dominant force on defense. Cam Newton is a candidate. If they make the playoffs, that will be more impressive than Andy Dalton leading the Cowboys to the playoffs. Ben Roethlisberger, that team could be 11-12 wins. They could win the AFC North. So just with only, and Matthew Stafford's coming back, but that team won't have enough wins. So solely because of Ben and Cam, I don't care what Andy Dalton does. He's not going to be a Comeback Player of the Year. Legitimate candidate where you go, yeah, he could win the award. I think there will be some good. I think there will be some bad. It will kind of mimic what Andy Dalton's career has been. And you'll never sit back and go, yeah, like, I think that team is in a great spot. So I go offsides on this question.
Offside.
All right, Connor, I got to get to another color. Let me think of one. Let's go Connor Blue.
All right, number three.
Could have done better. I got to think of a better color.
Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers meet for the third time on Sunday. Amazingly, Rodgers and the Packers have not turned the ball over in four games this season. They get a tough matchup with the Bucs defense this week, who have already forced nine takeaways on the year. Onside or offside, if the Bucs want to win this game, they will have to force at least one turnover against an explosive Packers offense.
I think so, because if you let Rodgers go four touchdowns, no picks, you're probably not going to win the game. And the last time these two quarterbacks met up, it was Brady, it was Rodgers in Foxborough. And a big turning point in that game, because it kind of looked like the Packers were just about to go win. or like momentum was shifting in favor of the Packers, you had a big Aaron Jones fumble. So it may not have to be Rodgers who needs to have the interception, but someone has to mess up. And then maybe you can turn that into a touchdown, and that could be the difference in a 27-24 game. So on sides, if the Bucs are going to want to win, they're going to have to force at least one turnover on Sunday. I'm surprised, by the way, that's not a Sunday night football game. I don't even think that would have been Sunday night football on NBC, yeah.
I guess they were expecting the 49ers to be a little bit sharper this year, and
yeah,
it didn't happen.
49ers-Rams, on paper, it's not a bad selection. I guess Fox, they really, really wanted that game. Who wouldn't want that game? All the networks would want that game. All right, what do you got for me next up, Connor?
All right, number four. Shockingly, the 49ers were absolutely obliterated by the Dolphins last week, losing 43-17 at home. Niners quarterbacks Jimmy Garoppolo and C.J. Beathard turned the ball over three times and were sacked five times as the passing offense couldn't quite get off the ground. However, the 49ers backfield led by Raheem Mostert ran 19 times for 131 yards at 6.9 yards per carry. So onside or offside? Last year, the 49ers' strength was their explosive running game. If Kyle Shanahan simplifies the offense and pounds the rock, San Francisco will turn their season around.
So I do agree that when they are at their best, it's when they're running the football first. You saw the dominance of that run game with Raheem Mostert last year, just like a who type of player showing up and balling out in the NFC Championship game and just smacking the Packers defense in the face. I do agree that that's the best approach because Jimmy G is not a great quarterback. But the reason I go off sides here, even though I think that is true, you could have that approach. It means nothing, though, if your offensive line doesn't start playing better. Because you could say, yeah, we're going to run. If your offensive line is not run blocking to the capability of what the 49ers can do, then you're going to be down. You're going to be going three and out. Then you're going to have to start chucking the football more than when you want to do because you're down 2-3 scores and you have to try to get back into the game with quick strikes and quickly. So I think a big thing here that's not talked about enough, Joe Staley was there forever. And then he had to go away. You know, and he retired. I just think his presence is being missed. And yeah, like Trent Williams, you got a good replacement. And yeah, that team has been killed with injuries. But when I look at that Niners offensive line right now, the center and the guard spots, they're just not playing well. And now you go up against Aaron Donald. So you could say this week, yeah, we're going to run the football more. And Aaron Donald could blow it up. And then it doesn't matter that you're trying to run the football more. So your offensive line needs to be better. That's what needs to be the biggest point of emphasis is the offensive line gets better. So, yes, I get what you're saying, but the reason I go offsides is just because if that's your idea, if the offensive line does diddly squat, it means nothing.
Offside.
All right, number five. Teddy Bridgewater has been great for the Panthers this season. Last week he threw for 313 yards and two touchdowns and had a 119 quarterback rating. Dating back to last year, Bridgewater has 16 total touchdowns and just 5 interceptions and has a record of 8-2 as a starter. And people also forget that Bridgewater was on the Jets at one point as the backup to Sam Darnold. Onside or offside, right now, if you had the choice, you'd take Teddy Bridgewater over Sam Darnold as your starting quarterback.
Right now, in this moment, year of 2020. Yeah, I take Teddy Bridgewater over Sam Darnold. Who do I think is the better long-term investment? I think it's Sam. I think Sam's just in a terrible spot right now. But if I'm trying to win this year, and I don't think either quarterback takes you to a Super Bowl this year, but if I'm trying to win this year, I think Teddy Bridgewater gets more out of the team. Just look what he's doing right now without Christian McCaffrey. They've won 3 games in a row and have a chance to win 4 in a row. They have a winnable game up against the surprisingly red-hot, not good for 3 quarters, but then play well in the 4th quarter, 4-1, Chicago, the Bears. So I'd rather have, in the moment right now, Teddy over Sam. That is Onsides Offsides on the Zach Yelp Show on CBS Sports Radio. We will break, and when we come on back on the show, I have 5 quarterbacks for you that I think have a lot to prove this weekend. We'll tell you who those 5 quarterbacks are, but first up with the latest CBS Sports Radio update, we get to Bob Uecker.
The Zach Gelb Show is on the air across the nation on CBS Sports Radio. Here's Zach Gelb.
That's right. It is a Football Friday right here on good old CBS Sports Radio. It is the Zach Gelb Show. Take you up until 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific, across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, SiriusXM, Channel 206, and the Radio.com application. I got five quarterbacks for you right now that I'm just curious what they're going to do on Sunday or Monday, whenever they do play. Andy Dalton, with the Cowboys going up against the Cardinals, I'm just intrigued because I think this is going to be, like we were saying earlier, a high-scoring game. And remember, Dalton down the stretch coming off the bench after Dak got hurt against the Giants, he had those two big throws to Gallup. And we all know the importance of a backup quarterback in this league. Ask the Giants with Hostetler, ask the Eagles with Nick Foles, and many other certain situations. Like, I could show you that in the positive. And then when you saw Aaron Rodgers got hurt a few years ago, the Packers had no options. So the backup quarterback position, it is so imperative. You hope you never have to use that backup quarterback, but in situations when you do, you go, ah, boom, thankfully that my team invested. I'm thankful that my team invested in the backup quarterback position. And that's what the Cowboys did this offseason. And I know at the time, people were so stupid. They go like, oh, Andy Dalton, here he comes. You know, he's coming in to the Cowboys organization. Maybe he'll replace Dak Prescott. Like, huh? That was never an actual thought. The only way Andy Dalton replaces Dak Prescott is if Dak Prescott can no longer play football next season. Like, if he is not healthy, then that's the way that Andy Dalton could potentially replace Dak Prescott. But even then, that wouldn't be for the long term. That was never going to be Andy Dalton was going to get the job because Dak struggled. The only way he was going to get onto the field, Andy Dalton, is if Dak got hurt. And we saw the nightmare for the Cowboys unfold, unfortunately, last weekend. So I want to see what Andy Dalton is going to do up against the Cardinals, where you have some defensive players there. Now, Chandler Jones, unfortunately, who's on his path to being a future Pro Football Hall of Famer, is done for the season. But I want to see with an offense that has the capability of putting up points, which that has not been the issue this year for the Cowboys, is not putting up enough points. It's been the defense not holding up their end of the bargain. So first start, probably I would say a lot of people are going to go with the Cardinals. I kind of think Andy Dalton doesn't play lights out, but he does his job. Maybe you see more Zeke. You probably do see more Zeke, where in some weeks Zeke hasn't done a lot because Dak has just been clicking on all cylinders. I like Dalton this week up against the Cardinals. With the Cardinals, I think this is one of those games where, yeah, they could win. There was a time, though, where the Cardinals were 2-0. Then they had those back-to-back losses, one of them being up against the Carolina Panthers. We're like, that's just a game where you go, yeah, it shows you that the Cardinals are moving in the right direction, but they're just not there yet. And the Cardinals, yeah, they bounced back last week. They played the Jets. I have a feeling the Cowboys win this game, and I want to see how Dalton responds. So that's one quarterback. The other one is Baker Mayfield up against the Steelers. Now, I know everyone's going to say, and I even said it, Buccaneers and Packers, it's the game of the week. As exciting as that game is, I think for me personally, the game that I have the most intrigue in, it's the Steelers and the Browns. Because you would anticipate Packers and Bucks to be close either way. Like, if that's a blowout, I will be surprised on Sunday. The Browns-Steelers game, I could think of a bunch of different outcomes. And I really want to see this Browns team, after that loss to the Ravens week one and the way that they have pulled off four straight victories, we're going to learn how good the Cleveland Browns are. And we're going to learn that on Sunday. Because the Steelers defense, they have a good defense, but they didn't play well last week up against the Eagles. Offensively, what's the follow-up back by one Chase Claypool for the Steelers? Juju's good. James Conner's good. Big Ben, we know, is just going to keep on getting better and better. If that game is close late, and we know the Browns, who won't have Nick Chubb, are so run-heavy oriented. If Baker Mayfield did not play well last week up against the Colts with the two interceptions, and Rivers was just terrible. with the two picks and the intentional grounding, which resulted in a safety. If that's a close game late, like this is what I want to see. 2 minutes left, Steelers up 24-23. Baker has to take them down the field with no timeouts under 2 minutes to go or one timeout. I believe this could be a close game. My gut just tells me the Steelers win by like 4 or 5 points. Next up, I want to see how Jimmy G responds. Last week, the team got obliterated, just dismantled against the Ryan Fitzpatrick, Fitzmagic Miami Dolphins. Not a lot of people are going to give you a chance up against the Rams. Rams are the hot story. You're the cold story. Can Jimmy G have a big bounce back performance and go win the game? You got to start winning because these next 7 games, like this is a game you can win. I don't think you'll win, but you can win. These next 7 games, they are brutal. You don't have an easy game until you play Washington. And that's middle of December. Nick Foles, I know he had the big fourth quarter, the big throw, I should just say, up against the Bucs and Tom Brady. Will you have a letdown this week? I'm not going to pick this game in our picks, but I was very close to going Carolina. Carolina is a 1.5-point favorite. I got a feeling Carolina's going to win 4 in a row, but then it's just such a tricky game to pick because the Bears, they're 4-1, and you go, this is not a good football team. Like, they have a good defense, but this is not a team that you go, yeah, they should be 4-1. And you've seen the way that they have come back against Atlanta, against the Lions. You know, it looked like the Bucs were going to win, and then you had the bad call on Shaq Barrett. Bears somehow then got the ball back even though they didn't do anything on that drive and boom, they scored. And even with leaving like 110, 120 left for Brady, Brady couldn't go down the field. So Foles against the Panthers, it's a winnable game. Like this is a toss-up game. You just got a feeling that the Bears are due for a nail. And then finally, Brady up against the Packers. 1 week, Brady throws 5 touchdowns. Oh, look how great he is. The next week, forgets what down it is. Yeah, bad decision to go to the Bucs. Would you say nationally, Connor Green, most people probably on the Packers here?
I think so. I think everyone's got right? The Brady forgetting fourth down on their mind.
He's old.
The Packers have been red hot. So I think Packers is everybody's top pick.
This game, I think, goes back and forth on a seesaw. Maybe which quarterback has the ball last or which defense just makes an interception and they turn it into points or forces a fumble. I got to think Brady plays really well. And I'm happy that Davante Adams is going to play. I'm happy that Mike Evans is going to play and Chris Godwin, all three of those guys healthy. Top 7, Astros 7, Rays 1. We're going to get a game 7. How about that? Little awful tune sounding celebration by yours truly. Thankfully, they don't stream our show on video. That would have been a viral, embarrassing moment. Gus Frerotte joins us next. NFL picks.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.